In our country, as we remember Memorial Day, a special day for us, and as we remember that, we are reminded that we are a very rare kind of thing. The only other country that I can recall, and it's very limited, would be Israel. Israel was a very unique country, nation, and they were called out of Egypt to God at Mount Sinai to become that nation. That was very, very, very unique. The only other one that is very, very, very unique is ours. There's no other nation in all of history like our nation. No one. We were formed and fashioned in a most unique way. Now, in order to remind ourselves of that, Memorial Day is one of those days to put us into remembrance. And remembering, if you would, we ought to remember on Memorial Day, Decoration Day, the Civil War dead way back, the people that died in the Civil War, the military and that. It goes back to 1861. And you go from there through the 1865. And in the process, the remembering, they started with the Civil War dead, remembering. And then was added the all the Union dead in 1868, reminding us of all of those that died in the Civil War and then all of those who died in wars. President Gerald Ford, Memorial Day, recognizes all those that gave their life and give their life for our country to have what we have. Now, they did that, the armed forces that died, etc. And remembering back to the Civil War, a half a thought, remembering that it was very costly, the Civil War. And in Cemetery Ridge, Robert G. Lee, one of the great commanders, Ulysses S. Grant, another one, a Federalist. They were great commanders, great, great men, actually from the same unit, or the South and North. Those generals were of one unit, somewhat. So now, having said that, Gettysburg, Robert G. Lee launched a frontal attack on Cemetery Ridge, and he lost a whole lot of men. In 1864, June, at Coldwater Creek, Coldwater Harbor in Richmond, Ulysses S. Grant was frustrated, waiting and waiting and waiting. And in that morning, I think it was the morning, he just couldn't wait any longer. He just let it go. He said, enough waiting. And he made a decision that he regretted the rest of his life. He sent out the Federalist troops, and in 10 minutes, 7,000 of them were casualties. In 10 minutes. He regretted it the rest of his life. Now, so Memorial Day is a remembrance, going way back to that time. And thus, we ought to remember John Logan, remember, back in May 5th. I know you don't have this all the time, so we just don't do it, so we have to remind ourselves. Because we have days, we don't remember everything. Think of all those that went through the Second World War. Who remembers the Second World War? And who remembers the Korean War or the Vietnam War, but who remembers 9/11? We forget. And we forget, and we're the losers for it. But on May 5th, 1868, John Logan, Commander-in-Chief of the Grand Army of the Republic, made it official for Memorial Day, quoting from him, "For the purpose of strewing flowers or otherwise decorating the graves of our comrades who died in defense of their country. And that was Memorial Day, way back when it started. And thus the conflict. Conflicts are there, always conflicts. Wars and rumors of wars, they don't go away. And thus their cost, they cost. Wars are very costly. But also in the war, there's the opportunity to lock in what you're thinking, what's valuable to you, and for commitment, for continuance of freedom. What is it? Is it worth fighting for? Is it worth dying for? Is it worth bothering with? Is it worth paying attention? Is it worth teaching the children, etc.? Is it worth the education? For that pursuit, they died. They died because they thought it was worth it. And so, here in 1776, before the Civil War, the second paragraph, Declaration of Independence. Because you want to know what they're doing. What are they doing? We want to remind ourselves what they're doing. Why did they do it? And you'll remember, if you go back, it's hard to go back to those days when they drafted and did whatever, and they lined up, Second World War, after Pearl Harbor, Sunday, December 7th, was it? 1941, I remember that. Remember the president coming on the radio, "We are at war." Wow. And then they marched down the street to rejoin up. Big lines to line up, to join up. Big thing. It meant something. It meant a lot. And people gave themselves to that. Without question. Now, here in the second paragraph, Declaration of Independence, quote, "We hold these truths," T-R-U-T-H-S, "we hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness." Webster, in 1828, defines happiness, quote, "the agreeable sensations which spring from the enjoyment of good," the enjoyment of good, happiness, the enjoyment of good things. They died in 10 plus major wars, all of the men, women, remember them. And so that their pursuit is remembered, the pursuit of their family, their friends, they pursued liberty, freedom, whatever it was, we're going to look at it just to remind ourselves what they were pursuing. And they did it so that we who are left could still pursue it. And thus, the last paragraph of the Declaration, "for the support of this Declaration with a firm reliance on the protection of divine providence, we mutually pledge to each other our lives, our fortunes, and our sacred honor." Do you remember people like that? Like that. Wow. Commitment, huh? Commitment. Now, so what were they willing to do? They were willing to protect what truths? These truths. Declaration of Independence. We wrote them down so there'd be no question. What are we doing? What do we have that others don't have? Not the way we have it. Willing to die to protect these truths, willing to pursue these truths, willing to provide these truths, and the gravesides are to remind us of those that paid the price, the earthly remains, that they paid the price so that we could protect, have these truths in a most wonderful way. Now, we have, as you know, the graveside, and as a Christian, Judeo-Christian cult background, we have the advantage somewhat, in some ways, because we remember the Lord Jesus Christ, and we remember he died, was buried, and rose again. And we ought to remember that. And the founding of our nation was to remember what? They came over here to find God, to worship God, more or less, better for worse. Whatever they did, that's what they did. And they come over to find him. And that's what our country was about. Being able to honor and worship God. And so our Lord Jesus Christ, God, made it possible for us to go through what we did. Why would we want to preserve these truths? Why would we want to continue these truths? Well, because we have great reason to. Because God gave them to us. God expects us to enjoy and exercise them so that we could know him and honor him all the days of our life. Now, having said that, keeping that in mind, if you would, our freedom, and thus if we don't enjoy the truths, that we don't have the freedom to and the victory, we don't have what it was all about, what they tried to get for us. And so all those many men and women willing to die, and we sang it, his truth is marching on. And thus again to say it, we protect, to protect the truth, to protect your right, say it that way, to protect your right to know the truth. To pursue your right to possess the truth. To provide your right to exercise the truth. As American, as people in America. Now, so, again, the Constitution, we mutually pledge to each other our lives, our fortunes, and our sacred honor. When the cost is lost, the loss will cost. And Memorial Day is a remembrance to bring together all of yesterday as best we can remember it, and to remind ourselves it's a national holiday. Now, holiday, to the chagrin of many, will not like. Holiday means holy day. You understand what a holiday is? It's a holy, H-O-L-Y-D-A-Y. That's the meaning of holiday. Holy day. They're holy days. Holidays. Now, having said that, and all the holidays, but they don't mean anything because we've lost the meaning of them. Remember the Alamo? But who remembers the Alamo? Remember Pearl Harbor, even. And we try to do that, and the world used to do it with much more vigor. The parades, the member, all those wonderful things you might remember them. I have to say that word, remember them. Remember when they marched down the street and as they plied with the flags and that, and as they passed you, as you stood there, you all saluted. Saluted. Remember the flag. Remember that? Used to remember. Now they're talking, eating pizza, and shooting laser guns at each other. They'd lost it. And when you lose all that, my dear friend, when you lose that, the founding fathers, the foundation they tried to lay for us and have for us, for faith to believe God, trust God, for freedom to know God and honor God. And when all of that, when you lose that, and a generation after generation, doesn't mean anything at all. And therefore, why do we give up, and why do we fight, and why do we die? Well, it's because of that, but it's people don't understand it, don't appreciate it. like they used to appreciate it. They don't appreciate it. So now, in the light of that, in order to try to capitalize and get a little bit, would you go with me, please, to the book of Exodus, chapter 12? The book of Exodus and chapter 12. And now remember, God, is Memorial Day, is that a reasonable thing for a nation, for a people to remember something? And Israel, the day that they were set free from Egypt, were to never forget what God had done for them and giving them freedom to know Him. Not from the Egyptian idolatry, but from freely being able to stand under the stars, under the sunshine, and realize there is a wonderful, awesome God. Now, Exodus chapter 12, they were to be reminded, and they were to have a memorial. Every never was to cease. In fact, it's coming up. Thus, Exodus chapter 12, verse 12. And I will pass through the land of Egypt this night, and will smite all the firstborn of the land of Egypt, both man and beast, and against all the gods of Egypt, and I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. And the blood shall be to you for a token, a sign, upon the houses where you are. And when you see the when I see, God sees, not they. When God sees the blood, I will pass over you, and the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. And this day shall be unto you for a memorial, and you shall keep it a feast to the Lord throughout your generations. You shall keep it a feast by an ordinance forever. Honor, never forget, never forget. Israel knew slavery. Oh, did they know slavery? 400 years, did they know slavery? They did. And thus, dear friends, they understood most personal the daily experience of being a slave, being no more than a slave, as a nation, as a people. And they understood there was no way out and no deliverance ever to be until God came along. They did not know the truth of God. They did not know the God of truth. They did not know. They were a slave to sin, and they had no sense of being free. They couldn't remember the truth because they didn't have the truth to remember. It wasn't that the truth wasn't available. They just didn't care, for whatever reason, to know it. And thus God waited until they were ready. And in that moment of time, God set them free. Over to Exodus chapter 4. Exodus chapter 4. In Exodus chapter 4, remember now, to be set free, whether you were back in the days of Grant and all of those people in the war, and if you were living then and you got free, won the war, lost the war, whatever, and you'd have your experiences, okay? Got your experiences now. Now, are you going to gain from the experience? You're very glad that you're set free, that the war is over. Now, what did Israel do? They were set free, going to be set free. Exodus chapter 4, verse 30. And Aaron spake all the words which the Lord had spoken unto Moses, and did the signs in the sight of the people. And the people believed. And when they heard that the Lord had visited the children of Israel, and he was visiting them, and remember, they're going to have the Passover coming up here, time-wise, and that he had looked upon their affliction. Then they bowed their heads and worshiped. They worshiped. They had wonderful sense of a reality, but not very deep. They were glad. They were glad to get out of Egypt. They all joined to get out with all the benefits. They got to the Red Sea, and they were cornered. They weren't glad anymore. They got across the Red Sea, and they were glad. Then they got over on the other side, the Sinai. They weren't glad then. They got to Mount Sinai, and they weren't glad then. Were they taking advantage of what God was doing for them? Now, so here in Exodus chapter 6 and in verse 3, Exodus 6, God, what were you doing that they didn't appreciate? And if you miss the application, here we are, Americans, what did they miss back then? And they did miss it. They didn't miss it totally, but they missed what they had just accomplished. And you just read and all the different things that they would be in a different place today if they caught on. So now, Exodus chapter 6, verse 3, Israel missed what? And I appeared unto Abraham, unto Isaac, and unto Jacob by the name of God Almighty, the Omnipotent One. But by my name Jehovah was I not known to them. In my covenant name, they didn't know me in that relationship. Skipping down to verse 6. God, what did you do? You know it. I'm just going to read it to you again. Wherefore say unto the children of Israel, I am the Lord. I will bring you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians. That's number one. I will rid you out of all their bondage. Wow. I will redeem you with a stretched out arm. With great judgments will be your deliverance. And I, verse 7, and I will take you to be for a people. Wow. And I will be to you a God. And ye shall know that I am the Lord your God, which bringeth you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians. And I will bring you in unto the land concerning the which I did swear to give it to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. And I will give it to you for an heritage. I am the Lord. God, what a wonderful thing you were doing for them. They were glad, but not down in their heart. No, not down in their heart. They weren't glad. And God gave them everything to encourage them in all kinds of ways. God did. Now, Exodus chapter 6 and in verse 9. And Moses spake so, gave the words, so unto the children of Israel, but they hearkened not. They didn't. Did you get what God just said? Nope. Unto Moses. For anguish of spirit and cruel bondage. For anguish of spirit. What is that? Well, that is the implies extreme dejection, discouragement, irritation, impatience, powerlessness. They didn't feel good about what they were getting, what was happening. They were looking at their feelings. They weren't going to pursue to get the benefit. You can't have the feelings until you get the benefit. You can't feel good until you feel good. Is that all right? Would you notice the next word? The second reason was the cruel. Bondage, hard, disheartening, demoralizing. Their attitude. And criticism. Finding fault. What did they do? They found fault and disapproval with what happened, with what God was doing. God did something wonderful for our country. But did it find full approval? No, it did, but it didn't. And here we are now. So having said that, dear friend, keeping that in the forefront, would you go with me, please, over to Exodus chapter 6? And in verse 13, Exodus 6 and verse 13. And the Lord spake unto Moses and unto Aaron, and gave them a charge unto the children of Israel, and unto Pharaoh, king of Egypt, to bring the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt, to bring them out. Now, and you know, we did this before, I do it how many times, but you remind yourself and myself. Exodus chapter 6, now he brought them out, and they were to be reminded they're going to march in order. They aren't going to march sloppily, they're in order, like a column. And they go right down the corridor all the way ultimately to the Red Sea. And here in verse 26, they're marching. These are the 6 and 26. These are that Aaron and Moses to whom the Lord said, bring out the children of Israel from the land of Egypt according to their armies. They're slaves. They don't know beans. They don't know beans about fighting. Compared to the professional, they don't know anything. God delivered them. God rescued them. And he called them armies. Do you know when you got saved? If you got saved, do you know God called you a saint? I know you don't. Maybe if we, you understand, there's churches that are saint this and saint that. I bet, and I know there's a Saint George somewhere. I know there is. God did something wonderful for you. When you got saved, he took you, sinner, saved by grace, and made you a saint. And he calls you saints. Doesn't he? 1 Corinthians 1, 2. Saints. Are people walking around in a saintly way? Are they conscious of being? Were they conscious of being an army? No. They were discouraged and anguished and cruel in their memories, and they felt they were critical about everything. Everything was a problem. Everything was in question. Instead of just stopping and being still and trying to get a handle on what was happening, they didn't do that. And so Israel plain lost out. They lost out. They were to be an army for war. For war. God made them, raised them. And they were to be having, look back over to Exodus chapter 12 and verse 14. Exodus 12 and in verse 14. This day shall be unto you for a memorial, and ye shall keep it a feast to the Lord throughout your generations. Ye shall keep it a feast by an ordinance forever. All right, verse 17. And ye shall observe the feast of unleavened bread, for in this self same day have I brought your armies out of the land of Egypt. Therefore shall ye observe this day in your generations by an ordinance forever. And to remember how you got out of Egypt. Remember how you became a country. Remember how you got saved. Do you forget how you got saved? You yielded and surrendered and yielded, and God had to come in his grace and reach down and save you. And you received it. That's assuming you're saved. And you did that. And we forget. God said, don't forget how you got in. How you became a saint. How you became saved. Otherwise, all that has happened in history, you are not the beneficiary of. You lose out because of one thing or another that you get hung up on and you miss it. Our nation was to be a nation, a special nation, to send out people. Israel is a nation to the nations. We aren't a nation to the nations. We are a nation among the nations. Among the nations. And out of the nation comes witness all over the world, the believers, missionaries, and all of that. Israel is a nation to the nations. That's their assignment, not ours. Not ours at all. Ours is to be a testimony among them. And as a people among them, to honor God. And that's what happened in a most wonderful way. Now, having said that, over, if you would please, to Exodus 14. Exodus 14. God, in his wonderful kindness, goes and rescues them. Now, and I'm just, you and I can't go back into history when all of this took place. You have to read and then read and reread, and then you still miss. Exodus chapter 14, verse 13. Here they are at the Red Sea. And before I read that, you have to pick up what happened. Verse 11. To the people, the mood of anguish, cruelty, thought. Why? And verse 11, chapter 14, and they said unto Moses, because there were no graves in Egypt, thou hast taken us away to die in the wilderness. Wherefore hast thou dealt with us to carry us forth out of Egypt? Is not this word that we did tell thee in Egypt? We complained. We didn't want to get out of Egypt. We were slaves, but being a slave was better than to go out there into nowhere and trust God, to believe God, to believe the God who said something to Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. Maybe he said it. Maybe he meant it. Now, verse 12. Is not this the word that we did tell thee in Egypt, saying, let us alone that we may serve the Egyptians? For had it had been better for us to serve the Egyptians than that we should die in the wilderness. And remember the time that we don't want to get out, we should stay with the king of England and all that. Verse 13. And Moses said unto the people, fear ye not, stand still, see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show you today. For the Egyptians whom you have seen today, you shall see them again no more forever. And the Lord shall fight for you, and ye shall hold your peace. God will said, I'm at war. I'm trying to set people free. I'm at war. I'm a God of war. That means, anyway, we'll pick it up tonight. If I tell you now, I have nothing to say tonight. You got it. Anyway, now, in the light of that, they were to trust God, and they weren't trusting God. They weren't enjoying what was happening. And in the midst of all of the revolution and the civil war and all of the problems that occurred therein and thereabout, the people were trying to adjust. When you go through whatever it is and you don't adjust quickly and rightly, you lose. The sooner you adjust quickly and rightly, the better off you are. Adjustments. We just had coming back from the aeroplane, true? And coming back. And the time, wasn't there a time change? You couldn't do anything, you just had to what? Adjust. Adjust, right? It's 7 o'clock. You have to adjust. The quicker you adjust, the rule of thumb, isn't it just? The quicker you adjust, the better. They didn't adjust. And in the adjustment, you take too long adjusting. You take too long fixing it. You take too long putting it together. And you lose when you do that. Things are different. And the quicker you line them up rightly, not wrongly, the better off you are. Now, so in the light of that, dear friend, In the light of that, would you go over with me, please? Over, if you would, to Jeremiah. Jeremiah chapter 9. Remember now, God exited Israel from Egypt, a wonderful deliverance from bondage, slavery, to Mount Sinai, to have a and God introduced himself at Mount Sinai to them. And if they had just gave not said, God, we can't be the people that you want us to be, God, you're going to have to help us because we aren't familiar with you, God. We aren't familiar with rightness. We don't know how to do things right. But they didn't say that. They said, all that you say, God, Exodus 19:8, all that you say we'll do. That was a dumb thing to say, but they said it. They said it. And you know what? They couldn't do it. They couldn't enjoy the freedom that God gave them. They couldn't enjoy what God had delivered them to. And we're paying a price in our own country because it's very hard, and we're actually never going to have it again, probably. No, not probably. It's pretty solid. You're never going to have it again, what you had. All gone. People don't know it, don't care about it. And God is moving it into the next phase. Opportunity was given, and opportunity was lost. It won't be again. And history is repeat with that. Opportunity is given, lost, and not repeated. When our Lord went to the disciples, he said, you know all these things. Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. Do you remember him ever saying it twice to anybody? Never. Well, he said it once. The commander-in-chief, the God of all comfort, the Father of all mercy, said it once. He isn't a beggar. And we should be smart enough to understand. He doesn't need to say it again. You know, if my father back then, my father had me empty. We had the empty coal barrel. Remember, ashes, cold. You shovel the coal, keep your heat on, furnace. You fill the ashes, take them out the street. The ashmen come by. That's where ashmen, that's what they came by. And you put the ashes out. Now, if my father was 20 feet tall and super duper full of electricity when he touched me. Imagination. When he said, empty the barrel, I hurried. But if he wasn't around, I could procrastinate and delay and not empty the barrel, you see. Not empty them. Wow. But then it would all add up. I have to take four barrels out at once, two in each hand. Out I go, you know, with the barrels. Because my father wasn't big. God is big. And when he says something, you ought to pay attention. So Jeremiah chapter 9, would you please note Israel in its journey down the corridor of time, the same as ours, which we're looking at on Wednesday. Remember Jeremiah? And it's just like our day. Now, here's chapter 9, verse 3. And they bend their tongues like their bows for lies, like shooting arrows. But they aren't shooting arrows, they're shooting error. But they are not valiant for the truth upon the earth, for they proceed from evil to evil, and they know not me, saith the Lord. Here they are going, and instead of honoring valiant for truth, they're honoring failure, fault, wrongness, falsehood. That's what they're doing. The word valiant means strong, powerful, to bind together. You have our word algebra, to bring together the pieces into a whole. algebra, a word, valiant, valiant, to bring together the pieces for the whole. Powerful, capable of bearing arms is the word. They're fighting for the wrong thing. They aren't fighting for the truth, they're fighting for error, falsehood. They're going in the wrong direction. Now, having said that, chapter 5, Jeremiah. Jeremiah chapter 5, and in verse 1, what did God tell us about the people back then? Run to and fro, 5 and 1, run ye to and fro through the streets of Jerusalem, and see now, and know, and seek in the broad places thereof, if you can find a man, if there be any that executeth judgment, that seeketh the truth. For these truths, that's what they went to fight for. They died. Lost limb and life. For truth. Truth. What is truth? God is true. The end of verse 1. If there be any that executeth judgment that seeketh the truth, and I will pardon it. Verse 3. O Lord, are not thine eyes upon the truth? The God of truth is looking to the truth. He wants us to know the truth. The whole country was founded so that people could come to God and find the truth. Here we are. Who cares about the truth? Who knows what the truth is? Like Pontius Pilate, no one knows what the truth is. What difference does it make? It makes a difference whether you live or die, whether it's right or wrong. Now, over to chapter 7. Chapter 7. Chapter 7, verse 28. But thou shalt say unto them, this is a nation that obeyeth not the voice of the Lord their God, nor receiveth correction. Truth is perished and is cut off from their mouth. There is no truth. It died. Where's the truth? Who knows what truth is? Who cares what truth is? I bet you if we went to work, school, or sat in a bus or somewhere and asked people what is truth, wouldn't that be an interesting thing? What they'd say. Where is the truth? Be an interesting question, wouldn't it? Back to chapter 9. Chapter 9, verse 23. Do you see the word valiant that you knew in verse 3? You're going to see the same word now, valiant, only you're going to see it in a different context. You ready? 9 and 23. Thus saith the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, neither let the mighty man glory in his might. And there's the word valiant twice, mighty and might. Don't glory in your might, your power, your capability. Let not the rich man glory in his riches, but let him that glorieth to boast, let him glory in this, that he understandeth and knoweth me, that I am the Lord, which exercise loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, saith the Lord. I want you to know, what's it all about? It isn't about you, it's about you. No, it isn't about your world and yourself, it's about knowing God, the wonderful reason you're on planet Earth in the first place. In closing, would you go over to Malachi? Malachi and chapter 3. And you would recall, as you read in Exodus 12, a memorial. Now we're going to, it's a memorial. Remember the Passover forever. It's a memorial of how you ever became a nation and why you became a nation. God, here we are, coming to the end of the Old Testament and looking what They aren't doing well. Israel isn't and wasn't and isn't. It will coming up, but not yet. Malachi 3 and in verse 16, God makes a statement so you don't get discouraged. Then they that feared the Lord spake often one to another, and the Lord hearkened and heard it, and a book of remembrance. Now there's your word memorial, remembrance. A book of remembrance, a memorial, was written before him, for them. God said, I have a memorial day for you. I remember you. And I read, I never forget you. Don't you forget me. I'll read it again. The middle of the verse, 16. And the Lord hearkened and heard it, and a book of remembrance was written before him for them that feared, have a conduct and character that is so struck by the awe of God that you're going to honor him. Feared the Lord, and they thought upon his name. And they came, and then, and they shall be mine, saith the Lord of hosts, in that day when I make up my jewels, I will spare them as a man spareth his own son that serveth him. God said, listen, I have a wonderful plan. You guys paid attention and learned something. The rest of you didn't. You all lose out. But you guys did. And it's going to pay off to be valiant for the truth. It's going to pay off. No. Yes, it is. Yes, it is. Valiant for the truth. Wow. I think that's marvelous. Marvelous. Valiant for the truth. Capable. God going for it. Whether we live or die, we go to battle. And the battle every day is for your heart and for your mind. Isn't it? You don't want to look down the street or across the world. The battle is for your heart and your mind. If I can get your mind, I have your heart. If I have your heart, I'll have your mind. You have to honor me. If you don't, you're going to be listed among the casualties. I'm remembering those that fear me, that honor me. God help us. Our Father and God, deal with our heart and our head. God help us. Thank you very, very much for being able to be a person alive on planet Earth. Thank you that we can participate in these moments, in these days, as a human being, to take advantage of history and the outworking of history, to take advantage of the purpose of why history even exists and where it is headed. God, thank you very, very much. So deal with us for the young and the old that know not. God, help them. For those, our God, who have been through yesterday and the day before, encourage their heart and make sure, our God, that we all take advantage of the freedom that we have, that has been preserved, protected for us, that we can experience it, enjoy it, and know it. Whether anyone else, our God, we can't speak for Malachi and them back then, but as for us, our God, and my heart, as for us and us, God, as for our heart, we look to you with great respect and reverence and wonderment that we have come this far and that we're able to know you, the living and only God, to be saints, our God, in the army that belongs to you. God, you are the commander in chief, and the battle and the battles and the victory belong to you. It's all about you, our heavenly Creator, our sovereign Savior, our Lord Jesus Christ. Let it be so in Christ's name. Amen. Thank you.